Today, our gospel passage is a lengthy passage. This lengthy passage gives us much to consider. What I'd like us all to do is to behold Jesus. Behold Jesus in this conversation. Specifically, I want us to look at Jesus and how very direct he was with this woman and how very merciful he was. Direct. We see that somewhat into the conversation where Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." That is incredibly direct on Jesus' part. This is a buried part of her life, a hidden part of her life, clearly something she's not very proud of, a sinful part of her life, which Jesus is not afraid to bring out in the open, to bring to the surface. So we see him as being very direct, but we also see him as being very merciful, and that is what follows. It's interesting what the woman says. The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." In her saying that, she's essentially agreeing with Jesus, indicating she doesn't push back or say, no, that's not true. My five husbands died and I got a new boyfriend now. No, she basically says, "You're a prophet. What you're saying is in fact the truth." And so then, Jesus is very direct with her. But after she admits by saying, "You are a prophet," the next thing she does is she changes the subject by asking a theological question. In fact, I think she could be a model for all of you if you ever find yourselves in a tight spot with one of us in the clergy, Deacon Rob, Deacon Kong, Father Briggs, myself. Let's say you're having an unpleasant conversation, a delicate subject, something you don't want to talk about. Just change the subject and ask a theological question. You'll get our attention, and we will launch into some answer, and whatever we were talking about that was unpleasant would just go by the wayside. Do you realize that's what happened in this gospel? Jesus raises this issue about her personal life. She admits to it, "You're a prophet. You can tell what's going on with me." Then she asks a theological question, and Jesus lets her. He doesn't say, "Wait a minute, we're not talking about theology. We're talking about your personal life." He doesn't do that. So he's both direct with her, but also very merciful. Another thing, perhaps the most important thing, is this approach, Jesus taking this approach with her, brings about her conversion. She's a very different person at the end of this gospel from at the beginning, that she has realized Jesus has brought something important to her attention that she'd prefer not to think about. She was acting on it, really by repenting. She was converted so much that she went in and began to evangelize her fellow citizens in the village, the other Samaritans. This is beautiful to behold. Jesus is amazing, the way that he operates. The wonderful thing for all of us as we hear this passage today is Jesus keeps on operating this way with us now. That's a takeaway for us. This is not just for that woman back 2,000 years ago. The way Jesus was with her is the way Jesus is with us. So Jesus is direct. When we are in sin, Jesus will probe us. He'll remind us. He'll inspire us. He will not let us go. We're too important for him to do that. And so in this concern for us, he is direct, but he's also merciful. He's not out to humiliate us, not to make us feel terrible, simply to get us to repent, to ask for his forgiveness so he can take away our sins. And then, as we see in the gospel where the woman was in a certain sense restored to the community, Jesus then restores us to the community of the Holy Trinity, restores it to the community of our brothers and sisters, who very likely we've offended with our offenses, with our sins. This then is a great takeaway for us today. One thing we'll be doing during this Mass is something called a scrutiny. The scrutinies are something we observe during the Lenten season on Sundays. We have three of them. Today's the first. And Wagner, in our class, is getting ready to be baptized at the Easter Vigil in just a few weeks. And so for these next three Sundays, Wagner, and hopefully Sebastian will be with him as well, those two will be going through these scrutinies, and the scrutinies are basically a chance for them to do something that we're all doing, and that is during this Lenten season, to think of the Lord's influence in our lives, his directness with us, his bringing to mind our sins, repenting of sins. I'll be praying over Wagner, and in that prayer, casting out the power of evil over him. All of us will be praying for him, and all of this is a preparation to receive baptism, as well as confirmation and First Holy Communion at the Easter Vigil. So that is a wonderful thing, and a chance to see, just like we saw with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well in today's gospel, something happening in our midst, the work of Jesus, directly and mercifully. I want to shift gears a little bit and observe another thing about our readings for today, and that is how the theme of thirst is also present. In our first reading from Exodus, the way the passage begins, it says, "In their thirst, the people grumbled against Moses." At this point, the Israelites had been led out of slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea. They're now in the desert. They're wandering around in the desert. They're running out of water. They were thirsty. They were worried they were not going to have enough water. But this is where Moses strikes the rock, and the rock produces water for them to drink. So they were thirsty. We have this image of thirst also in our gospel. The gospel passage takes place around a well. Jesus had been walking all that morning. It was now noon. It was hot. He was tired. He was at a well. The woman was coming there to draw water. So they're both thirsty. Jesus says to the woman, "Give me a drink." In their conversation, Jesus then has a chance to speak about different kinds of thirsts. He says, "The person who drinks from this well, who drinks this water, will be thirsty again." But Jesus then speaks about another kind of water, that if they have that water, they will never thirst again. And of course, we hear the woman saying, give me that water, that I may not have to come to this well and keep on getting water. So then there is this image of thirst. And with that image of thirst before us, I want to observe kind of an interesting coincidence or connection we have, and that is the baby bottle drive, the baby bottle collection that we're having today. We began it last week, passing out baby bottles as you're leaving the masses last weekend. The whole idea is we all were to take a baby bottle with us, and then we'd bring it back this weekend at the masses this weekend, and in it would be a check or some cash for us to support something called a Best Choice mobile ultrasound. And so then it's interesting that as we're hearing about thirst, God taking care of the thirst, we have these baby bottles, which are a reminder that as human beings, little babies thirst. They need drink. They need to have their formula, their milk or juice, whatever they're drinking. They have it from that baby bottle. This gives me a chance to say a few words about the mobile ultrasound and just explain how it works, because I was kind of curious. And so last week, I did ask Angela Clark, who's the director of a Best Choice mobile ultrasound. And she, by the way, is here again with her brother Richard, and they'll be the ones collecting the bottles at the end of Mass. So I was curious because I thought that these mobile ultrasound would simply show up at a strip mall or something like that. It would just be there for pregnant people to stop in and get an ultrasound. And Angela said, "That's sort of right, but there's more to it than that." What they do is they put ads online indicating where the mobile ultrasound is going to be. Usually it's in the Woodbridge area. She said they get people coming from Washington, sometimes taking an Uber. They don't have their own car, so they'll take an Uber to come down. So they know when the mobile ultrasound will be there. They come down to the spot where it's going to be in their own car or in their Uber or whatever, and they get an ultrasound. And with that ultrasound, the woman, the couple, hopefully a couple, but whomever, has a chance to see that being pregnant means having a baby, someone with a heartbeat, someone who's developing. They get to see their baby. And as a result, babies are saved. People who perhaps were thinking about having an abortion decide, no, I can't do that. I won't do that. I'll keep my baby. I'll take care of my baby. I wanted to raise this explanation simply because this is one of the most effective ways to save children, which is why I really want everyone, myself included, to participate in this baby bottle drive. If you didn't take a bottle or forgot the bottle at home, you can still write a check today and just give that to Angela or Richard, or give it to me or one of the ushers. If you're not able to do that, you could do it later this week, dropping off something at the rectory, and we'll make sure it gets to a mobile ultrasound. So this is very, very important because babies are saved. I also wanted to use this occasion to say a few words about an amendment that will probably be put forward to all the citizens of this Commonwealth of Virginia. The amendment is called the Abortion Amendment, basically, which would enshrine abortion in our state constitution. So in a sense, making abortion available to every citizen under any circumstances. Right now, a lot of work has been done in this Commonwealth to protect children. Abortion is still permitted, but there are several protections that limit the amount of abortion. And so this is something we need to have on our radar screens, because it will be before all of us, a chance for us to vote. And so with this awareness of what is being promoted, what we want to stop, we can act accordingly, and then we can encourage others to do the same. Just saying, we're not that kind of place. This is not the Commonwealth of Virginia. It's a place where everybody is respected, no matter how big they are, how smart they, small they are, how young or old they are. We respect everyone. We respect their rights. Another comment I want to make, and this goes back to our baby bottle drive, is that whether this passes or not, whether the government says something is permitted or not, we follow the laws of God. We follow what is true. And the baby in the womb is a human being. So whether our state says this is on the Constitution, this is permitted, whether the state says that or not, we do the right thing and protect that child. And so our baby bottle drive today is just a chance for us to say no to abortion. And also realize, if we've been involved in abortion, of course, Jesus is merciful. We want to get that sin taken away, be reconciled. Nothing is beyond his mercy, beyond his love. But we also want to have the attitude, we will not do that again. We will not support that or promote that amongst ourselves. We simply won't do it because we won't destroy a life. We can go back then to Jesus, which is, of course, always the message. Behold Jesus. Behold how direct he was in today's gospel. So direct with that woman, and yet also so merciful. He did not want to, and he did not, humiliate her. But he did point out to her her sin and the purpose to bring about her repentance, to bring about her confession, to bring about her forgiveness, and then her restoration. We see this process in a beautiful way in today's gospel. We realize Jesus continues now for us in the same way. Amen.